to rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep. He can't hang around.
Io's house in the middle of our street. Io's house.
Isle's House, episode whatever. Before we get into everything, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Ethan GSN, Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy, Jack at Isle's Den. Follow the podcast page at Isle's House. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. And of course, we are sponsored by the lovely folks at The Rust and Gold in Huntington. New read on menu. We had some Patreons there tonight for the game. Posted some pictures on Twitter, looked unbelievable, had a great time. And of course, subscribe to the Patreon. You get access to our Discord. $5 gets you in, $10 gets you in with extra content, $25 gets you in and extra content and access to the Insiders channel. Gentlemen, the road to 79-3. It's on. It's here. Matthew Schaefer is unbelievable. Where are we starting?
We can go through the weekly recap as usual. I'll keep it a little bit shorter this time.
Yeah, Jack, that's good. I think that matches the feedback.
This one's a little more glorious. So starts off last Thursday, this three-game roller coaster. David Riddick in net answers the bell, 4-2 win over the Oilers. That game was – felt like they were going to lose that one, a good portion of it. It was 2-1 Edmonton at one point. The Islanders were in their zone with the ESPN clock had it open for – I think it was like 2 minutes. Then Pageau finds Horvat, turns the game around. Horvat ends up having a hat trick, just a great win. And then we move on to Saturday, which was kind of like a whoa moment for me. I don't know about you guys, but that game in Ottawa was like eye-opening just because I feel like over the last few years, you know, people use the DeGrom thing on Sorokin. I wouldn't go that far with it, but man, he gave up 4 goals. They trailed in the game 3 times. They did not have the lead until 1 minute left when Anders Lee made his warm welcome into this season. Just played some bully ball, won the puck, wins the game. That brings us to tonight where they had to just take care of business, and they did. It was not easy, but it's the National Hockey League. We can't always expect everything to be easy, and all of a sudden, we are 3-3, and the preseason predictions feel a lot less stupid now. So I'll pass it over to you, Rocco.
Well, they probably feel a little less stupid from you, Jack.
Yeah, that's true.
Big, big smile on Jack so far this episode. Big, big smile.
Yes, sir.
Very happy. I little bit worried at 0-3. He wouldn't admit it, but
a little bit worried.
Totally changed this episode. But yeah, I mean, you got to give the boys credit coming out with 3 wins, just a total 180 from since we recorded our last episode, right? And we'll get into it, but a number of guys looking real good. Number of guys we weren't completely sure about, the Drouins, the Heinemans, whomever else, looking real nice. And, of course, we will touch on the chosen one as well and have some further insight into the conversation. So very excited about this episode. Just a fun team. We said it at the beginning, if you're not going to be good, be fun. We're not sure if they're good, if they're bad, but I think they're pretty fun right now. It's an enjoyable watch. And yeah, boys, let's get into it.
They are fun. The New York Islanders play a brand of hockey that I can only describe as crackhead hockey. High octane, full throttle. I mean, even to say that it's dug weight hockey is maybe an insult to the kind of hockey that they're playing right now. They give zero fucks on the defensive end. It's all about scoring, defensemen joining the rush. And Dom, Data Dom, in our Discord, probably described it the best of anyone. And he called it, it's like a Wednesday night Maction game for 82 games. Just the That's most incredible. Unexpected nonsense, all offense, blocked punts, you know, ridiculous penalties, games ending 72-49, just unbelievably insane hockey. And yeah, listen, the New York Islanders are very fun. Whether or not they're good is to be determined. But I know it is fun. Matthew Schaefer is fun. Now, last episode, we had the conversation. We started the conversation. The conversation continued.
It's growing.
In Discord. It continued on Twitter. And like, yes, Jack, the conversation is growing. Now, Yeah, it's evolving. It's like a Pokemon. It's just, you know, we're Blastoise now. Okay. Now the conversation was originally, oh man, like he's in kind of Quinn Hughes, Kale McCarr territory. I'd like to evolve the conversation. Are we watching a Triple Crown kind of season unfold before our eyes? And I listen, before I let you guys speak, I know it's borderline insane to say that. But if the Islanders do turn out to be not just fun, but good, and Matthew Schaefer keeps up this pace, is the conversation Calder-Norris-Hart?
Ooh, Hart. I haven't thought about that one yet.
Hart's a little crazy, I think.
But, again... I mean,
listen, in a week, we might say...
Hold on.
Go ahead.
We're brave,
but I don't know if...
We're a brave podcast, which is why, because we're so brave, we're willing to have this conversation. Not many others are willing to have this conversation, but we're willing to have the conversation. And Belmont's no stranger to Triple Crowns.
And let's also take it to another conversation as far as something that's going on later this year.
We're having multiple.
Is he on Team Canada?
That's another conversation.
There's so many things.
Yeah.
Layers to this. I can't believe we're, first of all, the initial conversation's unbelievable if we go back a month ago. Now we're taking it a step further. And I mean, we kind of would talk about it amongst ourselves. Isn't an outside shot at Team Canada? Norris, there was always that chance. And then these other things. And then you start to see national hockey guys talk. Like Ryan Whitney was literally asking, is this guy going to be on Team Canada? Because if you do look at the Team Canada roster, not that I'm not calling it a weak spot by any means, because Canada is not weak anywhere. They're obviously stacked all around, but their weakest of all their spots might be that left side of the D.
Who do we got there?
Taves.
Harley.
Harley.
And Morrissey.
Morrissey, I think. Yeah.
Theodore.
Theodore. Yeah, they're still very strong, but, I mean, the kid's got a chance. You'd think they're going to probably take the vets just because it's their turn. Guys didn't go to the Olympics every year. There's guys that are mine and Ethan's age that haven't gotten a shot at the Olympics yet. So you probably got to give it to them first, but he's certainly in the conversation. And honestly, he would look every bit the part, I think. You watch him right now, I can't believe it. I pinch myself watching these games. You see him skate around with Barzal. It's like,
he's
dreaming of this.
It's unbelievable. Just stepping back from the many conversations we're having, the energy that he brings the team and the fan base. I mean, I don't know if you guys stuck around to watch the post game.
Oh, yeah.
Grabbing the microphone from Shannon, yelling to the crowd.
Ready to get into the stands.
I mean, this kid would crowd surf through the concourse if he could, I think, at this point. We knew that he had the on-ice confidence. It was apparent from game one. But so quickly to see him just grow in confidence with the media. And he's goofy too. Like he's talking about like team dinners, building chemistry on the power play. Like it's very genuine. It's unbelievable to watch. I haven't seen Matt Barzal have this much fun playing with anyone since Anthony Beauvillier, obviously for different reasons. But the two of them on the ice together is unbelievable to watch. Like I words can't describe. It's got to be just a breath of fresh air, a huge relief for Matt Barzal to share the ice with someone so consistently who can actually keep pace with him. Not just foot speed too, but puck skill.
Yeah. And it's a timing of multiple things, right? Because I don't know if you heard this, but I think it was during the second intermission, Shannon mentioned it, that she was so excited she got to interview Schaefer at the intermission. And in previous years, she would have never got to interview a rookie, let alone during the game. So it's not just that Schaefer's here. It's that Schaefer's here in the post-Lou era where things are actually a little bit more open and he could do these things. I never even thought about that until Shannon said it.
Yeah.
They never interviewed the young guys. It was always like the same group of 3, 4, 5 guys, probably the leadership group. Anyone who wore a letter took the interview. But it's just nice to see. It's as Easton said, a whole new energy, feels great. And I might turn into Jack soon. I might start believing.
This kid's not a loser. Like, he didn't come here just like fuck around and be like, yeah, we're gonna go like 40 and 42. Like, he's trying to win, and he scored the game winning goal tonight. Like, my takeaway after watching that interview was just like, I had like a quick pause and just like
put it on the billboard. Like, Matthew Schaefer, not a loser.
He's not a loser. Like, he's not coming here. He's not content with 35 and whatever. 37. That's just not, he's not doing that. It's not going to happen with him here. He is a special player. And what I just was looking at the screen wondering is like, so we've never seen this before, and hell, we are never going to see this again. This is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, maybe on the defensive side, but as the game was going on, it was announced that UBS is no longer getting any sort of pre-Olympic All-Star game. So I'm sure Kathy's sharpening her pencil for another strongly worded letter to guarantee us Gavin McKenna in the upcoming draft. So could be some fun times ahead. So, all right, Matthew Schaefer. Now, I want to talk about some other players. I'm sure you guys do as well. One of them being Emil Heinemann, who looks like I was okay with WAP keeping him in the lineup high up in the top six of the first 10 games. But he came over from the Canadiens in the Noah Dobson trade. I would like to introduce a new segment to the podcast, if I may. May I?
You may, even though we have no idea what's coming.
Yeah. This one I just came up with during the game. We're going to call it Éclairage au gaz canadien, which in French means Canadian gaslighting. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about this, right? Like, no Canadian fan is going to listen to the podcast, right? So what we're going to do is, despite his strong start and Emil Heinemann's start and everything like that, I just want everyone to go around the video call here right now and say something about how amazing Emil Heinemann is and how poorly Noah Dobson's playing for the Canadians, and then Jack can clip it and we can rage bait them on TikTok and X. So I'll start. It's unbelievable. I can't believe that Emil Heinemann was not even like the focal point of this trade. I mean, two firsts on top of it, despite Noah Dobson's struggles early on getting overpaid in Montreal. It's unbelievable. All right, Rocco, you go.
You just don't trade a player like Emil Heinemann. I mean,
you don't.
Size, shooting, just so much heart, team guy. Just you could tell he brings the locker room together. Just an ultimate glue guy. I just can't believe we got him on the squad.
Those players like that don't grow on trees. You don't just get rid of them.
The best part is too, this guy can defend too. Not only a top six winger now, but he could also, I mean, this guy could defend maybe better than the guy we traded. And we got two first round picks.
That's great. It's unbelievable. All right. Thank you for listening. That was Éclairage au gaz canadien. All right, back to the Islanders. I have very few criticisms of anybody on the offensive side of the puck. I really don't. Like, I mean, you can criticize, you know, Casey Cizikas maybe. You can criticize Kyle Palmieri anytime there's an open net for him to score on. That, to me, like, that's really it. You know, I think Simon Holmstrom, hand up, hasn't been playing particularly well, although I think he had a very strong game against the Sharks, especially. And I think his very hard and well-played first and second period led to him playing higher up in the lineup, and I thought he looked excellent in some of those later shifts, even gaining the praise of Butch and Brendan, or not Butch, but who was calling? Yeah, Hickey and Brendan. I don't know. Like, is there anything to even nitpick or criticize on the offensive side of the puck?
Lee kind of woke up in the perfect time. Like, he was asleep. And then, like, I literally hadn't noticed him for the first, like, whatever, four games. He comes in and scores a huge goal. I think maybe a better way of looking at it, is there any forward that you guys think hasn't gotten, you know, maybe the recognition some others have? I've noticed one player that's been pretty damn good.
Drouin?
He's been good. That's definitely a good answer.
Kavanaugh have been good from the skill guy perspective. Yeah. And I think the guys that were getting a hard time from at least the coach in Siplikov and Holmstrom, they both looked really good tonight, I thought. They were both really strong on the puck. They both made plays.
And any of them get a point?
Two polarizing figures on this podcast.
No, but Holmstrom deserves the point for the Cizikas goal.
I saw that. Like, I thought he might have tipped it with edge of his stick. I was like,
but he was in the corner.
He was. He was there. He was battling. He played a good game tonight. And he was doing a lot of the stuff that, like, I'm high on him about, like getting out there, blocking a shot, clearing the zone. Like, it was nice to see. I think a little bit of an underrated player in the last few games has been Pageau. He made that pass to Horvat to spring the breakaway. He made the pass to get Lee in that situation with Spence. He's been pretty good. And, like, the thing is, like, giving him credit, like, great. But, like, I feel like we all know that he's no longer going to be here come March. But I do want to say he's playing excellent right now.
You know who else I want to give a shout-out to? And I'm not – he hasn't been the best forward. And he hasn't put up a ton of numbers so far. But Duclair, it's nice to see those speed bursts again.
Yeah, that's who my choice was going to be.
Yeah, and everyone who's been at UBS sees that now they put this sort of thing on the jumbo. The speed bursts and how fast each guy's going at top speed and their time on ice and whatnot. And I know when I went on the opener, Duclair was up there. Tonight, you could just tell by the way he was playing. He had some bursts that looked really strong. So it's just good to see him back at 100% and skating the way he should.
Another thing, too, it's nice that, like, we've won three games in regulation. Like, these games we haven't given up like a late goal to tie it. It's been a little bit different than recent years in that regard. So I think the speed on the team definitely helps. Yes. They're playing better when they're ahead, and, you know, finding a way to scratch together three wins with those teams in front of you. Like, when we were looking at this thing like a week ago, we were thinking like, okay, maybe one here, one there, but wow, three straight. Just good stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point too, Jack, on the speed. You don't see them get hemmed in their own zone as nearly as much as they were last year. I feel like that was a huge issue last year with, you know, guys on the back end that aren't the fleetest of foot trying to flip it out, whatever else, can't get it out. Now you have a lot of guys that could skate the puck up ice. So
they don't get
hemmed in like they were.
It happened a few times in the first three games, and part of the reason they were 0-3. I mean, I at least brought it up, I think, in our last episode, where it just sort of like a lot of it was the same. I mean, they were a lot more improved on the offensive side of the puck, but there were minutes at a time, especially in like the second and third period, where they just couldn't get anything out of the zone. And to be fair, they have, like, when they have players that are willing to carry the puck through the neutral zone into the offensive zone, like, it's very noticeable. But there are times where guys are still a little bit hesitant to do it, and I feel like they get stuck in the neutral zone. It leads to a lot of turnovers and a lot of, say, odd man rushes, breakaways. We've seen that quite a bit early on. And again, that's just sort of the nature of the system that they play. Patrick Waugh wants the defenseman, whether or not they're capable of it, joining the rush. And if you have a player fumble the puck in the neutral zone or fail to get it deep, then that's what's going to happen. But, you know, at least they're fun. We could say that.
What do you guys think of the goaltending situation right now?
Yeah,
Are you encouraged? Are you like, I don't know. I thought tonight was a good step for him.
Yeah, I was in favor of him getting the start against San Jose, because at this point, if the Islanders are going to go anywhere, and not that I'm really expecting them to, it's going to have to be on the back of Ilya Sorokin, because we know the defenders can't defend. They can score, but it's such a Jekyll and Hyde goaltender, man. Like, There are chances where, you know, he'll save a 2-on-1 or he'll make an unbelievable save and then he lets in a fucking beach ball. Like, it really makes no sense to me. The numbers have not been kind to him. The fancies have not really been kind to him. He's facing an unprecedented number of high danger chances, which, again, like, that's going to be the nature of this team. Patrick Waugh wants the defenseman joining the rush, getting up the ice quickly. It's part of the reason they're scoring so many goals. It's going to lead to a lot of odd man rushes and high danger chances against. So, you know, he's going to have to be excellent. Sometimes we can be unfair to him. Sometimes I think there are folks out there that are a little too in his corner.
Mike.
And, well, yes. Sorry, there are some others. No, we love Mike.
There's a lot of people.
We do.
There are dozens of us. But, I don't know what to make of it just yet. I will say the Rittich start was nice.
Incredible. Didn't see that coming.
31 save win for Big Save Dave.
robbed McDavid on a breakaway. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That was a big time save too. It wasn't just one of those positioning, like,
yeah,
he made a stop there.
Yeah, he got that pad out. It was,
yeah, wild. That was a nice save.
Yeah.
Anyone else gonna espouse on the goaltending situation?
Yeah, no. So as I always say, I'm probably the biggest Sorokin defender, but
Ottawa.
It was Ottawa, right? Where it was to Pinto. That one goal. I just get so frustrated with that. I almost compare it to like one of these pitchers in baseball that could throw 99 on the black, dot the corners, and then he can't throw to first. Like, it's just, he doesn't, it's, I don't know what it is. He's so athletic. He's so quick side to side. And then sometimes these shots that the average rec league goaltender will stop, he just lets it through. It's so, like, that Pinto goal, I couldn't believe it even went in. It's not even a goal that should have a zero probability of going in. Just get your angle, and he's not really putting it by you. He didn't even take a great shot. He kind of just put it on net. It squeaked its way through. And that's the thing with Sorokin. There's those little softies, those little squeakers that just find their way in. And we know from history, a lot of times it comes at the worst time. He's had bad playoff moments, points in the game when they're up or they just tied it and he gives up one. Who were they playing when they were up 2-1 and literally 30 seconds later he goes back down and scores a softie to make it 3-1? It was the afternoon matinee.
It was the Jets. It was the Jets. It was Logan Stanley. They're
playing the Jets. Someone comes bursting up the boards and just throws one on net, beats them. All of a sudden it's 3-1. And it's just those backbreakers that affect games. And listen, has he made some big saves? Yes. But I also think when it comes to being clutch, Sorokin was sort of a big reason they were 0-3 to start. But you got to give him credit. He played well at the end of the game tonight against the Sharks. The Sharks had some good looks. I think
really well. He played well.
Yeah, he played really well. Eklund had a really good look. Probably one Victor Eklund finishes, not William. But, you know, he made some big saves, and you got to give him credit. He played well tonight. I hope it's a step in the right direction. He played really well in the third against Ottawa, bounced back there, but I've been saying it in the Discord. I just want to see 60 minutes, and today was probably his closest game to a full 60 minutes of good goaltending.
I was impressed with him today. And another thing too, have you guys been enjoying having a power play that doesn't not score every single time?
What are they ranked right now?
I don't know, but it's awesome.
Just visually, it's fun.
It's so, yeah. That 5-on-3 from the other day when we had, they threw D'Angelo out there instead of Schaefer, and a lot of people were pissed, and you're shaking your head. I understand.
How are you not pissed?
I just understand both sides. So I think that was like their first 5-on-3 during the season, and like, it's okay for him to sit there and watch one. Just watch one, and you go out there next time, and okay, he never goes on it again.
Jack. It's 5-on-3. There's so much open ice. You have two of the best skaters in the league, and you could put them on the ice at the same time. And you voluntarily don't. You're just like, no, let's put Tony D. You got to put Schaefer in that situation. Come on. I don't think there's much to defend there. I think
all right.
And
Ethan, I'm not dying on this hill, man. But I thought I understood it, but like, it does sound egregious the way you're saying it.
Like, you got to – it's like – watching 3-on-3 overtime and keeping Barzell on the bench, like, nah, just let the other guy get some
run. We'll throw Palmieri out,
bro.
There.
There were times last year where Andrews Lee was out there to start.
Yeah, but Barzell always got his run.
Caulfield.
Ridiculous stuff.
Can I be honest? I'm low key waiting for an OT just to see Barzell and Schaefer out there at the same time.
Oh my god, I know.
Yeah, same.
I'm like, well, there's been a couple games where I'm like, oh, I wouldn't mind OT to like against Ottawa. I was like, all right, we're going to see some OT. This is going to be fun.
That would have been sick.
Yeah. Should we talk about the defense a little bit? There's really not much to talk about.
Well,
we sort of talk about how the system doesn't fit our personnel.
We could, but I mean, guys, the regression candidate I had going into the season, is he going to make it to December? It's bad, man, and it sucks to watch.
Who's your candidate?
Tony D'Angelo.
Yeah.
You can't clip Tony before Christmas. That's not right.
Yeah.
After Christmas.
But, dude, it's a tough watch. Like, what happened to him? He's not even doing the things he was great at last year.
I think we see a better version of him on the ice every night. It's suddenly like in slow motion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen,
that's so
true. The whole Tony D shtick is, I'll put up like 50 points and I'm not going to be able to keep the puck in at the blue line, and I'm not defensively responsible, and I'm a good enough skater. And like, that's sort of what we're seeing. But like, he already lost power play one to Matthew Schaefer, obviously. Right, exactly. It's not even a knock on him, even though you can knock him. But we just have a better option.
Yeah.
Tony D kind of seems that like the re-signing that they really didn't know how good Schaefer was going to be. Like, he was supposed to be this guy for 1 year and be the stopgap, and then maybe you trade him good at the deadline, and then Schaefer comes in.
He's getting moved. He's getting moved this year.
I think.
Do we like Boqvist better than D'Angelo through what we've seen in two games?
Probably.
I think he's the safer play, right? Like, when you have a guy like Schaefer that does a lot of what Tony does when he's at his best, the guy, like, I think a Boqvist is smart enough that when there's no play at the blue line, they just throw it back in the corner. With Tony D, you're going to get the wild card, like Charlie from Always Sunny. Like, he's going to try to get it on that, and it might go into a shin pad and a breakaway the other direction. Boqvist feels like the safer play.
It's really funny you say that, Ethan, about how like, now that you have Schaefer, he does look to me much slower this year. It's like watching two different players. It's crazy.
Well, we got a lot more speed this. Like, we have a good number of fast guys now. You had Drouin's pretty fast. Duclair's back at full health.
Shabanov's
pretty quick. Shabanov's quick. So he went from maybe one of our, as sad as it is, one of our faster moving guys to at best middle tier now.
Yeah. Mayfield, he's been good enough.
I mean, you know what it is with Mayfield, and I think Jack would agree with me here. He's supposed to be a bottom pair guy. I think we have to temper expectations with him sometimes. Like, he's going to make his mistakes, even the tripping penalty on today. Like, is it a bad penalty? Sure, but Will Smith made a good move. Like, what, you don't want to take the penalty, but sometimes your bottom pair D is going to take a penalty against the other team's best forward. It's just how it goes. I think you ride with Scotty. I think he's good as the Schaefer partner. And you just let him be a veteran presence there. And you know what else I like? I think someone at the end of the period gave Schaefer a little bit extra.
Scotty was right there.
That's the underrated part about Scotty, especially. And again, it's a different league now. You don't need a million Matt Martins, but Scotty's going to protect him, like truly protect him. It's not going to be one of these fake, like get in the guy's face or whatever else. He'll truly protect Schaefer, and I think that's where his value is this year.
I got to interrupt our podcast for 1 second. Something historic has happened, and I'm not sure we'll ever see this again either. There's a 3-point night for Ross Johnston.
Yes, in Nashville dude, tonight. I was just about to bring that up.
And my goodness, like, I can't wait to watch those highlights. Great for that guy. That's just unbelievable.
You know who else it's great for, Jack?
Who?
It's great for me and Rocco, who were forced to start him in Isles House Dynasty League because we have about 15 different injured players.
So bad.
This league is so crazy because there are players, like, I'm like following Canucks fans, like learning about their prospect. It's just unbelievable. I'm trying to get these Rangers to bring
there
up.
For those who don't believe, where is Ross the Boss Johnston? He's somewhere up there.
How many points tonight?
7.65 points. One goal, two assists, one shot on goal, four hits.
Unreal.
The hits are always there.
The hits are always there.
With Mayfield, I do agree with you, though. Third pairing guy, and like, he stepped in and he's done the best he can. He's always going to have those moments where he takes the tripping penalty, can't catch up to someone, but he's proven to be a pretty good partner so far. And Pelican Pollock, I think it's been better than what we've expected. It hasn't been great, but for me, it's been better than expected. I think on the PK, I think they get themselves in a lot of trouble on the penalty kill. A lot of trouble, and that's kind of the sights that we leave the game with. But at 5-on-5, they've been pretty good.
Bottom three, say, analytics, game score for the Sharks game tonight.
Speed.
Adam Pellick, Ryan Pollock, Tony D'Angelo.
Oh my God, Tony, get out of the cellar, man.
You know what I was going to say too in regards to the defense? I thought Romanov had his best game, and then of course he pops up hurt right after that.
Yeah.
I don't think Bro is in great shape.
I think he's in good shape, dude. I just think he's like, once you get one of these, a couple injuries, it's tough. It's like chronic shit. The shoulder or this or that. Like he's a physical.
I don't know if it's structural though. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We don't have to go too deep into that. It's just that.
No, subscribe to the Patreon though if you want to.
Yeah.
But it's like it's so frustrating. Like you sign this guy to an 8-year deal, $6.5 million. He comes out, looks like absolute ass the first 3 games. And then in game 4, he does what he always does, which is he lays his 1 or 2 big hits per 3 to 4 weeks. And now he's out.
You're better that game though. Like that was the first game I was like, all right, if this is Romanov,
right, I agree,
we'll be okay. Like again, I think he's got a big deal, so it's not like a Scotty Mayfield where it's, oh, we got to temper expectations or whatever else. But what's our goal with Romanov? Middle pair. That's where we're at, right? Like we need him to be a middle pair.
He's Schaefer, a 4.
Schaefer's the number one left. You know that of the future.
Yeah,
I can't unsee the first 3 games from him.
No. Like Sorokin, where he lets in a few softies, you need to see a couple good ones, and it sort of starts to erase it. Romanov had one where it's like, all right, it's the beginning of the upward trajectory, and then it's just out. It's, I don't know. I think NHL GM's got to wake up a little bit and stop giving long-term deals to these two.
It's like, who are you competing with? It's like the Dolphins signing Tua. Like, nobody was doing that. Nobody. Like, relax and let these players, like, prove more before you shell them 8 years.
It's like what we said last week. These NHL deals are either give your agent a raise or fire your agent, and Romanov better give that boy a raise.
Yeah. It's, when you just get signed to that extension and those are your first 3 games, it's really hard to not just get worried about it. With Sorokin, he'll give up a softie here and there, but he gets more of the benefit of the doubt because we know what's in front of him. Like, Romanov is supposed to be one of the better players in front of him. And when he comes back, he really, like, those first 3 games, we could not see that. Like, you're supposed to be a reliable defenseman here. Not many of those on the team.
But I think the difference too, Jack, is we're paying Sorokin based off what we've seen. And when he's at his best, he is one of the best in the league. We're paying Romanov off what we're hoping he's going to be.
Yeah.
And that's part of the issue, in my opinion. I mean, I'm sure some people love Romanov. Some people thought it was terrible, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little worried about that deal as early as it is. And as young as, what is he, 25?
Yeah. 20 years, yeah. 25. Like,
so still time, but
yeah.
All right. Yeah. What else are we talking about?
Defensemen, forwards. I mean, I don't really know what else to discuss, honestly.
All right, let's get to the questions.
Yeah, let's get to them.
Oh, let's do it.
Who's got them?
Jack, you got them?
I'll pull it up. Let's see.
Do a little Francesa radio. 45.
What a fan are you?
Greeny's question. Okay. Do you think Darsh still trades Dobson if the Isles don't win the first pick? Yes, I do think he still does.
He didn't want to be here.
Yeah.
It was situational. It was the
Darsh had a number.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like Dobson would have these starts to the year where he looked good in October. And another thing, any Islander fan that's like losing sleep over this, I think it's completely ridiculous. First of all, Heinemann looks good. Second of all, like, we're witnessing a player that is worth like caring that much about right now. He was never even half that player.
No.
Fine with it. I was fine with it at the time. It's, you see a guy like Schaefer, like he did, get on the mic today and just get so excited. I love this. I love that. It was never there with him, and that's okay. He's gone, but
I want guys who want to be here.
Yeah. I want guys that want to be here.
Yeah. Matt C. We saw Holmstrom elevated to the third line over Shabanov in the third period. Do you think Shab is going to get demoted? I do not. I think it's situational when you're holding a lead. I think that's where Simon thrives.
Agree. Situational. And I think Shabanov's got to be in the middle six for now.
Yeah. He's looked good too. Like, it's so fun having a team that like they could actually score every line that comes on the ice.
You know what else is fun? Just having some new blood in here.
Yeah.
We have 4 or 5 new players to watch and be excited about and wonder what they're like on the ice. I feel like there was like a 3-4 year period where maybe we get one new guy at a time, and it's to have this, fresh blood is nice.
Steven Benign, do you guys think Romanov is out long term? I'll leave that to you too.
No. I think he maybe back next game, right, Ethan?
That's the hope.
Yeah.
I have a question. Where the hell is Pierre Engvall? Is he alive?
He was at where was he the other day that they had like some event at in Garden City or something? He was there. They made the man ride the ferry. I guess he's not on the ferry. He's on the injured list, right? So he's just hanging around, making appearances. What?
Yeah.
I need a no-show job like that.
It's a nice life for the Swede. The Bry Man, one. Clearly, we need to say goodbye to Tony D. He serves no purpose. Who comes up from Bridgeport? I think Wah really likes him, and he's just never. I don't see him getting scratched for Boqvist unless it becomes completely egregious, but they've won three straight.
Ethan, if they drop a defenseman, who's first up from Bridgeport?
Is it Warren?
It's Warren. So,
really?
So Tony D is a right shot.
Yep.
Isaiah George and Marshall Warren are both lefties. So we got to see who's comfortable playing the offside, but it's Warren, who's off to a tremendous start in Bridgeport. Rockies unlocked him.
This is kind of out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
I think he was an undrafted free agent out of Michigan.
He was a fourth round pick by the Islanders in 22.
Man, it's like magical. No,
sorry, that's George. I'm looking at George's page.
I think Warren that we just signed.
Yeah, you're correct. You're correct.
And he's from Long Island.
So we Long Island kid all.
That's not right either. Marshall Warren, here, he was drafted in 2019 in the sixth round by the Minnesota Wild.
And then thanks, Billy. Agent.
Yep, he's a Laurel Hollow guy. He's 24.
Yeah, I think he did he went the distance in college and became a free agent. And we signed him, pretty sure.
Yeah, he played it 4 years. Jesus, super senior over here. He played 4 years at BC and then a year at Michigan.
Nothing wrong with being a super senior at a big school.
I don't know why this just popped into my head when I was thinking of like Warren, but Brock Faber being on the U.S. team last year, there's zero excuse for Schaefer not to be on the Team Canada.
Two different teams, Jack.
I know they're two different teams.
You're obsessed with this narrative.
Which one?
This one, the Brock Faber.
It's because the guy is just like the amount of hype and glaze that this guy got a few years ago, and then you watch
bro,
this.
Bro, you hate him so much.
We have to put Brock Faber's glasses picture and Jack's glasses picture side by side.
Yes. Yeah. I don't hate Brock Faber. American.
You don't like Brock Faber. You don't like him.
He's just not Matthew Schaefer. But
no one
number is. Number two. Really liked JGP Lee Holmstrom. Where does Shabanov fit?
I mean, I bump him up.
Well, yeah. Who was Lee was with Barzell?
I want to see more Barzell Shabanov.
Yeah, that was
me too.
And then who goes on the other wing? Palms,
Duke.
Yeah, that would be fun. Duke, Barzell, Shabanov would be mayhem.
Nuts. Globetrotter hockey.
We have two questions to cap us off, but they're both kind of the same thing, but I'm going to read both of them. Thomas Boyle, do you see the Islanders qualifying for the playoffs? Riley, six games in, and we have a three-game losing streak and a three-game winning streak. Power play looks really good so far. Still think they sit around 75, 85 points, or are you joining Team Jack and saying playoffs? Riley actually wrote Jake. We're going to need to correct that. We're going to need to correct that next time.
Correct the record. We were talking about it, Rocco, a few days ago, like the six-game stretch the Islanders had coming up, and I had them going 4-2 in that stretch, and that was against Ottawa win, Sharks win. They host the Red Wings on Thursday. They're at Philly on Saturday. And then at Boston on Tuesday. I think they can win all these games.
They could, but they could. Like, it's not as, like, when you look at these games on paper.
No, I know. Listen, I get it. Maction, they play crackhead hockey. Like, anything can happen.
I need to see them against the cream of the crop. Like, I want to see what they look like against.
Oh, 100%. Because after the Bruins, they're at Carolina.
And Washington, mind you, the home opener smoked them. True. Like, they made a little bit of a comeback, but that game was what, 4-0 after two?
They got dominated. But again, like this stretch of games, like, I don't think I'm being hyperbolic because we all thought the season was over at 0-3. Like, all right, they drop like a couple more. Like, it's an impossible basement to crawl out of. They need to win these next four games. And I think that, I mean, I don't think, I know they have the talent to do it. Can they put a full 60 together against all these teams? And they have the benefit of they play the Sharks at home. They're going to have the Red Wings at home. At Philadelphia, not too bad travel-wise. And then they have 2 days off before they're at Boston. But then after that, you're at Carolina. You're at Washington on a back-to-back.
Wow. That's Thursday, a good the 30th, test.
And Washington is on Halloween. So back-to-back games. And then you're hosting the Blue Jackets. So, like, you got to really stack these wins here if you want any shot of becoming a legitimate Metro contender.
I think I can see where this team is going to struggle this year, and it's really based on these first two games. So Winnipeg and Washington, two elite teams defensively, they get off to an early lead, and then we can't score because they're so good in their own end. Like, a team like Carolina, like, that could be a bigger problem for them than, like, a team like Tampa, who isn't good on the blue line but has the amount of scoring. So that's what I probably think this year will be like, but I can't wait to play Carolina, man. I feel like we have way more talent on this team, and I just want to beat those guys. Fun
for us. It's just not a good matchup.
This is a different team.
What I was going to say, and we discussed it briefly before, the key is delusional because they play this high octane style, the defenseman pinch. And as friend of the program, Euroscout told us, they play a style where the defensemen pinch, and they do not have the personnel to have the defensemen pinch outside of Matthew Schaefer. Pelech, Pulak, and Mayfield should not be pinching very often at all.
So, straight up, they need Sorokin to steal one.
Yeah, they need bailout saves to win these.
We need like a 30-save, one-goal effort in one of these games.
What Zach just said is a great point. When you play the better teams, they're going to lock it up once they get a two-goal lead, right? Yeah, like, we know Carolina does that. They're going to Florida. Lock it up, let you come to them. And do the Islanders have good offensive depth? In my opinion, yeah. Like, when you look at the forwards 1 through 12, very solid. Like, most other teams drop off a lot quicker. Like, no shade to them, but a little shade to them. You look at the New York Rangers lineup.
Oh, my. When you
get past 6-7, it drops off fast. I mean, it's they have a fourth line that can't skate. So, it's bad. Like, a lot of teams drop off a lot quicker when it comes to the forward group than the Islanders.
It's crazy. You look at this lineup.
That being said, do we have the horses when we go down 2-0 to just find a way through and score?
Yes.
Probably not.
No, I think they do.
Not against Carolina, Winnipeg, and Washington? Not against the best.
Against the Sharks, yeah. But against these teams that play good defense when you have Slavin on the other end or –
Again, though, it's gonna depend on Sorokin. It entirely depends on Sorokin because they need to stop the counterattack.
Yeah, but they're gonna give up odd man rushes. It's going to happen every game, and it happened today a couple times. And he made big saves, and that was
against one of these tougher opponents coming up. I need the Islanders to put down the crack pipe, pick up a Bible, and just be an upstanding citizen and play defensively responsible hockey. I need to see it. I need to know if they're capable of doing it.
Not really their system, though. That's the.
All right. Well, it's on the coach to adjust, for you know.
We should adjust. And you know what? I was hard on Juan. I'll give him a little bit of credit. He definitely lit a fire under Siplikov and Holmstrom today. So credit there. Hopefully it continues. But at the same time, don't scratch those guys. Those are the guys we need to develop and grow. You know, if they do something egregious, sure, but this early in the season, we can't have those guys get scratched.
Nope.
Let me read you guys this real quick before we wrap up. Just going to read a list of names. Connor Sheary, Juuso Parsonen, Noah Labba, Taylor Radish, Adam Edstrom, Sam Carrick, Matt Rempe. Are any of those guys, those forwards are all in the Rangers lineup. Does a single one of them crack the Islanders right now?
Fourth line, maybe.
I like that Labba kid. He's good. He's like a good energy guy. Here's a question. Does Cal Ritchie crack their lineup?
Oh, yeah. Right now. 100%.
I was shocked. They still have Perreault, who's nice, waiting in the wings.
Right. And Hoffman, right?
Yeah. I'm not big on Hoffman, but.
Neither is Chris Drury.
Yeah. So we'll see where that one goes, but.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll wrap it up. Thanks for the questions. Subscribe to the Patreon. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast. We'll talk to you guys soon.
safest. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a leg to keep, he can't hang around. I was house in the middle of